Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. And Lord, we do thank you for your word that tells us so much about you. Lord, I pray as we look at just a few examples tonight out of Scripture of your power, of your might, of your sovereignty, that we would have the proper view of you as we live our lives, that we would not think that everything revolves around us, but that we would look back to you as the ultimate God of the universe, as the one who is in control, who is over all. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight it's going to be more topical. I'm just taking kind of the topic of God's sovereignty and looking at different places throughout Scripture that kind of touch on that. And from that, we're going to just kind of see some examples of how God is sovereign and how he is in control. I like when I take definitions of words, especially from older texts like the Bible. It was translated into English back in 1611, updated a little bit in the 1700s. So it's from a long time ago, and not all of the words have the same meanings that we ascribe to them today, because word meanings change over time. So a lot of times when I look up the meanings of words from the Bible, I'll go back to the 1828 version of Webster's dictionary, the one that was kind of, for a long time, was kind of the standard in the U.S. And Webster's 1828 dictionary says about the word sovereign, the first two definitions are, number one, supreme in power or possessing supreme dominion. So supreme in power and dominion, ruling overall, you could say that. And the second definition being supreme, superior to all others, or chief. So when we think of the word sovereignty, when we think that God is sovereign, we think of him as being first in power, first in rulership, and he is above all. He is above all else. And so we're going to look at just a few passages tonight relating to that. The first kind of point I have here is that he has sovereignty and he has ownership because he is the creator. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the book of John, we read, "Without him, that is Christ, was not anything made that was made." He made it all. And when you make something, when you create something, guess what? You're supposed to have ownership of it. And God has ownership of creation because he is the creator. He is the one who brought it to be. So God is sovereign, first of all, because he has ownership by creation. The second thing is that he has spiritual rulership because of his holiness. He has spiritual rulership. Now, on the first hand, we said God made everything. That's talking about the physical realm, right? But God also made the spiritual side of things, too. And he has spiritual rulership. Psalm 11 and verse 4 says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men." That's another way of saying God has spiritual rulership over all things. He is the most holy. He is the most high. To be holy just means to be set apart from. And God is set apart from anything else in this universe. He is not dependent upon anyone else, anything else for his life. We are, unfortunately, right? We have to be cared for when we're born. We are dependent upon our parents. And even as we live out our life, we are dependent upon God's power in holding this whole universe together so that we can continue to live, so that we can continue to exist. But God is not. He is set apart. And it talks here in this verse about the Lord being in his holy temple. You know, it's hard for us to imagine the awesome sight that it's going to be someday when we get to heaven and we see God in all of his holiness. sitting on his throne. What an unbelievable sight that will be. It will be unlike the power and majesty of any person that we've ever seen, of any landscape or scenery that we've ever seen down here on this earth. And coming into a place where there is true, pure holiness on display will be just mind-blowing. I don't know how else to say it. It will be incredible. But because of God is so holy, he has spiritual rulership over all. All throughout the Old Testament, the children of Israel were told, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God expects his people to be holy as he is holy, to set ourselves apart from sin as much as we can, and to rely on his holiness and his spiritual leadership to get us through. So he has ownership by creation. He has spiritual rulership because of his holiness. Thirdly, his power is greater than all. God is sovereign because his power is greater than all. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 66. Got to use our Bible some tonight. I can't do all the reading, right? Isaiah 66. The very last chapter of the book of Isaiah, which has often been, the book of Isaiah is oftentimes referred to as a mini Bible, because the entire Bible has 66 books. Isaiah has 66 chapters. If you were to take time to read through Isaiah chapter 66, it sounds a lot like the book of Revelation. There's a lot talking about the future here, but at the beginning of chapter 66 in Isaiah, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" He says that his power is greater. There's no one else that can say, "Oh, heaven is my throne. The earth is like a footstool to me." In several places throughout Scripture, God talks about earth as just merely being like a footstool, right? It's just this little thing that I prop my feet up on. No one else can say that, because there is no one as great and powerful as the Lord, as vast as he is. His power is greater than any other being. Now, there are certainly powerful people on this earth, people that have more power than, say, you or I. They can give a word and something can be done. They might have more wealth. They might have more status. But there is certainly no one that even comes close, even in the spiritual realm. Satan has great power, and he has minions that will go out to do his bidding, but it's nothing like the power of the Lord. God is above all. He is sovereign because his power is greater than all. Next, we want to look and see that he has future mastery over all things. The fourth thing here, he has future mastery over all things. Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12 say, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Like I talked to the children this morning, I was telling them, in the future, God is going to reward us. But several places throughout the New Testament, the Bible says we will be judged when we come and stand before the Lord, not in the same way that unbelievers are. Unbelievers will stand before the Lord and be judged also. But those who have believed in Christ, we will be judged according to the things that we've done, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And we will all have to answer to him. So the saved, the unsaved, we'll all stand before him, and we will acknowledge. It says here, "Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Everyone, at some point, will acknowledge that God is who he said he is. It will be undeniable. When we stand before him at the final judgment, there will be no way to get around the fact that he is God and that he has control over all things. Now, here on this earth, it seems like when we look around, sometimes people get away with things, right? We look around and we see people who are living in evil, people who are suppressing the people of their own country, maybe an evil dictator. And we say, how can that person get away with living this way, get away with being so evil? But they won't be that forever. Someday, the Lord will stand above all as the master of all, and even that person, fill in the name, all the evil people you can think of, right? They will all have to stand before God, and they will recognize his mastery over all. It can give us comfort even in times when we think that the wicked are just getting away with whatever it is that they're doing, to know that that won't last forever. That God is sovereign and he is in control. And in the future, he will make it evident to all. Now, I've got two more scripture passages, and both of those are in the book of Revelation. So if you could, just turn over to the book of Revelation. So we've talked about how God has ownership by creation. He has spiritual rulership. His power is greater than all. And he has future mastery over all things. There's another couple of points that we can find in the book of Revelation that talk about the power of God. Revelation 11 will be where we start. And it was really neat to me. These two passages both are texts that are used in the lyrics of the Hallelujah Chorus, which I referenced this morning. So from Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus, of course it says Hallelujah like a, you know, three dozen times or something like that. But it also has some other text in between, and these two passages that we're going to look at are where that text comes from. It was taken directly from Scripture. So Revelation 11, verse 15 says this, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." What this tells us is he is over all human governments. You know, we were just talking about the fact that it seems like there's some evil government entities out there, doesn't there? Seems like there are people who are in charge sometimes who shouldn't be. And we look at maybe the way people are implementing, whether it's in our country or some other country, implementing their agenda, and we a lot of times don't agree with those people. And we might think that, you know, why do these people get to make these decisions for us? Why can't, you know, people who are in authority be more just? Why can't they do things the right way? Well, there is one who stands above all human government, and that is the Lord God. It says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. As we're talking about the end of the world here in the book of Revelation, these are the things that are yet to come, many of them that we read about there, and Christ will reign. He will set up his kingdom, and there won't be anyone here on earth that will be able to say anything about it, that will be able to say, no, I'd rather be the king. That's not going to happen, because God is sovereign. And while it may not be entirely evident now, while, you know, as we're living through this life, we can see things that are unfair. We can see things that are unjust. We can see people in authority who probably shouldn't be there. But God someday will be over all human governments. And he will be the one who is ruling over the entire earth. That will be a great day. That will be a wonderful time when that occurs, and when he can rule in righteousness. He shall reign forever and ever. That leads right into our last point tonight. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, you can turn over there. It says, he shall reign forever and ever. And then in Revelation 19, verse 6, it says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. When the Lord comes back, the end of the tribulation, at the end of all of the judgment that has occurred in the book of Revelation, the Lord comes back and sets up his kingdom, and things are the way they should be. And the Lord God, omnipotent, the only one about whom we can say that, that he is all-powerful, that he has all power. He is the one who is reigning. Christ said to his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, he's the only person who walked this earth that could say that, because he's God. You can't say, well, I, Rick McDonald, have all power. No, you don't, right? I have some power. I have more power than my son has. I have more power than maybe some other people I might meet, but I don't have all power, and I never will. As much power as I can obtain, I will never obtain all power. Only God can say that, because he is sovereign. He is over all. And his kingship will last forever. What a powerful, sovereign God we serve. He's worthy of anything that we could do for him. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our service. He is worthy of our honor, of our reverence, of our respect. Anything you could give is not enough to account for how worthy he is to receive it, if that makes sense. He is the great and mighty Lord of all. So how does that apply to us living life here? Well, for one, power is limited, but his power is not. And we serve a God who has all power. He is omnipotent, and he is able, as the song says, he is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. He's able because he has all power. He is the sovereign Lord. When we talk about God's sovereignty, these are just a few passages that give us some examples of how he is sovereign. He's the creator. He's the spiritual ruler of all. His power is greater than anything else. He has future mastery over all things. He is over even all human governments that we see, and his kingship will last forever. What a mighty God we serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you are sovereign. And Lord, we are so blessed that as great as you are, as powerful, that we can call you Father. Lord, you have given to us a place at your table. You've given to us a place within your family. And it's something far beyond what we deserve. It's something, Lord, that we can be eternally grateful for. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your word that gives us clarity in all things and gives us hope for the future, gives us a reason to continue on knowing that you are ultimately in control and that you will reign forever and ever. Lord, we love you and ask for your blessing upon this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.